Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. We give you the worship and the supremacy and the dominion. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Breathe upon this service today. We trust in you and we will never fail. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I welcome everyone here this evening in the precious name of Jesus. I see the Lord do so much in our midst. The commanding, the day, midnight prayer hour session is producing so much result. Testimony rushing at the frequency of fire. And we believe that something is happening around the earth. From everywhere it is coming. From China, from America, from everywhere. If you have not joined yet, how many of you have joined so far? Excellent. How many of you have not joined so far? Don't be afraid. All right. Join it tonight. Okay? 11:30. Just discipline the sleep and join it tonight. Online, not physical. Online. Just wherever you are, you join it. And the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Psalm 119, verse 67. I'm going to be preaching on something today that I am sure that you may not have heard, or maybe heard the way I'm going to preach it today before. It is Psalm 119, verse 67. He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. I am speaking very quickly on causes of ill health. Causes. Our objective tonight is to understand the origins of disease. Understanding the factors that contribute to ill health. And number two, understanding how to handle them. There are two things I want to say by way of introduction. That God's purpose, first, is that God's purpose for his children is to prosper and be in health. According to 3 John and in verse 2, "I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." God's purpose for his children is for them to prosper and be in health. Secondly, there is a connection between light and health, between knowledge and freedom. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John chapter 8, verse 32. It is clear that the more enlightened people are, especially in the developed worlds, most times, the more knowledge about diseases they have, the easier it is for them. We also have a lot of deplorable health conditions in ignorant places, places of high illiteracy. They are filled also with high mortality, and everyone here will confirm that, especially public health people. So it is important for us to have light. And it is important to note that not every sickness is healable by prayer. Some are healable only by knowledge, by information. For example, the person who got diabetes because of a certain kind of way of living, there is no amount of prayer you pray for that person until that behavior changes. So there are sicknesses that are not healable by prayer, They are only healable by knowledge. They are healable by a change somehow. So this evening, I am going to be looking at five categories of causes, or five causes of ill health, five origins of diseases. Number one, biological. Biological. This is where you can say that maybe you are dealing with a physiological issue, a pathologic issue, or a chemical issue. But here is it. When I say biological, I mean that it is easily traceable to a bacteria, like Mycobacteria tuberculi, which is responsible for tuberculosis, or the syphilitic virus. A bacteria, a virus, a parasite, like the malaria parasite. You can trace it to something like this. Or maybe it's pathological, where you can't say that there is a virus or a bacteria, but the organ is diseased, like a kidney disease, a lung disease, a liver disease, or something that is not tied to an infectious agent. This is biological. We can go to the laboratory and say, okay, this is the reason for this, is biological. Number two category is nutritional. This is food-related issues that affect health. Here, we can be talking of undernutrition, in which case, somebody is not eating enough, or is not eating adequately, as we have in Africa, in the third world. So he's having undernutrition with protein and energy malnutrition, kwashiorkor marasmus. This can be undernutrition or overnutrition. Where somebody is eating too much. Like they say in America, most of America, they dig their grave with their teeth. I remember going to Tennessee for a program of Maurice Cerullo, and the food they were serving, there was a jar of Coke. It wasn't sold in bottles. You just go with a big cup and serve as much as you want to drink. Finish drinking it to serve again. The cost was flat. If you want to drink it 10 times, nobody will charge you. The cup is as big as your arm, like this. Fill it up. And then go as many times as you want, go. Those who like to eat will just finish themselves. That was why one man told me after our New York meeting, when we had 7 hours in God's presence, that became 8 hours in New York City. He said, keeping Americans for 8 hours without eating is equivalent to the miracle of raising the dead. An American white man, that is what he said. Jonathan Shuttlesworth. So there are people whose health problem is nutritional. Is eating a lot of sugary things. Diabetes is inevitable. Diabetes. And like Papa Yerepo said many years ago, he said there are people who are not having diabetes, they are having diet cookies, too much coke. Or I can say diet sugaries. Too much of salt, for example, will assist hypertension. Too much of salt. Too much of fried food, for example, will increase cholesterol and give you heart diseases. There are people who will not eat anything except it is extremely fried. and they eat it at odd times. Too much of odd time eating, for example, will cause deposition of fat in the wrong places. So you are both in a church school and a nutritional school and also a medical school. So some of these things are not things that anybody can pray for you about. For example, I trained in Plateau State, went to Jos University Medical School. Among the children from the Birom tribe and some of those tribes, you will never find Kwashiorkor. Birom, yes. Reason, they eat acha and some of those goti and all of these mixtures that is so rich in protein, that is so nutritious, and it's impossible for them to have those kind of things. Meanwhile, when you go to teaching hospitals in most part of the West, I'm talking about another thing now. You don't look too far to find peptic ulcer disease because of too much eating of pepper. No, these are things that we learned in school. It was clear. I mean, various regions, there are things that once you go there, you find it very easily. Am I communicating at all? So this is nutritional. And if, well, when we come to the solution at the end, we'll look at that. So when you look at your life and you look at how you operate and function. My wife is here, she's aware. There is a time of the night that meat can't enter this mouth. I mean, I don't struggle for it. If you like, fry it. If you like, decorate it until. It's not interesting at all. It's not that I decided. My body rejects it at that time. Hallelujah. So we have nutritional causes that can lead to ill health. And then number three is behavioral. Biological, nutritional, and behavioral. This is lifestyle related diseases. Diseases of lifestyle. The person brought the sickness upon himself or herself by lifestyle. For example, the alcoholic man, an alcoholic, eventually may not escape chronic liver disease, fatty liver, liver cirrhosis, and then hepatocellular carcinoma at the end, in that progression. He may not escape it. He also may not escape some form of heart diseases. I've seen situations of alcoholic heart muscle disease, alcoholic cardiomyopathy, dilated myopathy of the heart. An alcoholic may not escape that. And then you come to the guy who is a tobacco smoker. In fact, the alcoholic is also highly predisposed to pulmonary tuberculosis very easily. Then you come to the smoker who's a lifestyle smoker. He's playing with bronchogenic carcinoma. Cancer of the bronchus and cancer of the lungs. He's also playing with hypertension. And as I speak now, I remember a man. In fact, the alcoholic also will have, if he's a diabetic person, the alcoholism will worsen his diabetes. Am I communicating? My wife, when we came to town newly, she practiced for about 1 year and a half. Thereabout. When we came to town newly, she was practicing in a private hospital as the ministry started. And she met a man in the place of her practice. And this man was working, I think, in Sheraton then. Young-looking, vibrant man. I at the managerial level at that time. And this man was battling with hypertension and diabetes. And he was also a smoker and a drunkard. Right? The smoking is worsening the hypertension, and the drunkenness is worsening the diabetes. He was drinking both of them. When he was told, you have to stop this thing so that the hypertension is not worsened and so that the diabetes is not worsened. He said, I cannot stop it. It's a habit I have formed. It's hard to stop. Now listen to this. Now, he came to a point, I don't know whether he went into coma or something. He was at the point of death by the combination of this diabetes and hypertension and alcoholism and tobacco smoking. When he was in the face of death, by the time he came out, after a few weeks, he became ketoacidotic coma. He became normal and his body became very fresh and he was looking very, very healthy. And I think we saw him. What happened to you? You are so healthy now. He said, yes. Are you smoking still? No. Are you drinking still? No. Who prayed for you to stop? Nobody. He didn't need prayer. In the face of death, he had to change lifestyle. When it was a choice between dying and smoking, between dying and alcohol, he made a choice. Am I communicating at all? So there are behavioral things that predispose people to, please take your seat. The person is eating and eating and eating and obesity is dealing with him. You see, and when you see a lot of people with a lot of fat deposition, the major challenge is that fat is not just here and here and here and here, but that fat is also now deposited around the heart, which is a wrong place for fat to be. They used to tell us in medical school that everybody's heart is the size of their fist. So if you see a very, very loaded person, then it should make his fist, and then that fist is almost, that heart is also greasy and fatty, which is very, very dangerous. Am I communicating at all? I don't need to tell you about lifestyle that brings affliction. Immoral lifestyle. Sexually transmitted infections. Whether it is trichomonas, whether it is chlamydia, whether it is herpes simplex virus, whether it is syphilis, whether it is gonorrhea, whether it is human immunodeficiency virus, all these are transmitted in this way. And by the transmission also comes complications. If it is a lady, most of the infections will affect the fallopian tubes, tubal blockage. All right? If it's a man, Staphylococcus aureus and others would deal dangerously with the spermatic area. The outcome for the man is low sperm count, azoospermia, oligospermia. He has sperm that has no head, and motility is zero, is weakened. The whole system, you know, so these are lifestyle things. Am I communicating at all? I'm not trying to frighten you, but it's important for reality to be told, right? Somebody say, I'm not doing too much. The only thing I'm doing my own is only kissing. Inside that saliva, there are things transmitted. Hallelujah. Well, if you start small, if the person has gum diseases and odorous mouth, that is directly transmitted. Directly. Gingivitis and all of those things are transmitted. That one is direct. Oh yeah, human papilloma virus, the one they are talking about right now, is coming through there. I think infectious mononucleosis, Epstein-Barr virus, all that is coming through, that means. Oh, Abba, oral candidiasis that just makes the truth almost difficult to swallow. And then, if the person has sore in the mouth, or even small cut, maybe his tongue, teeth cut tongue, and there's small bleeding that is even not noticeable, any other thing can be transferred. Anything in the blood. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hepatitis B, hepatitis C. Helicobacter pylori, the one that causes ulcer, is plenty in the saliva. Oh, oh. Hallelujah. So that is why I said that there are some things. It is not prayer that will handle. It is knowledge. It is information. So the next time a joker is coming your way, so I'm not ready for any affliction. I'm not ready for any affliction. So that there is behavioral. And what I'm talking about are things that we have not just seen as in the clinic, but seen in church and seen in counseling, where there are direct causes of things. Direct. I saw a result the other day, Staphylococcus aureus, of a man where they did a sperm count, and everything was terrible. Oligospermia, azoospermia, motility, zero, almost zero. Sperm had no head. Decapitated by infection. Do you understand what I'm saying now? And the woman is not aware. What is your result? I don't know. There's nothing serious in the result. Meanwhile, the result is loaded. Loaded with challenge. Amen. I see deliverance coming for somebody here. I see deliverance coming for somebody here. If you are that one, shout the loudest, amen. Number three is behavioral. Number four is generational. So we have origin of disease, biological, nutritional, and then number three is behavioral. Number four is generational. This one is the one that is inherited through the bloodline. Inherited from the ancestry. It runs in the family. When you take a family history, you can identify that there's something like this or like that in that family. For example, there are families that are hypertensive. And you must know, father is hypertensive, mother is hypertensive. Maybe father and the hypertension and diabetes are just some evil twins somehow. Most people will have the combination, if not immediately after a while. Hypertension, diabetes, running in the family. There are situations where you have even peptic ulcer disease running the family. And then you have even cancers. I know of families, okay, somebody went of prostate, another person went of liver or something like that. Just one cancer or the other. And you see it running in the family. Ophthalmological situations like eyesight, short-sightedness. At a certain age, everybody begins to use glasses in the family. And then you can identify. Father began to use glass at age 40. Mother began to use glass, and so on and so forth. You can trace that. And then you also have mental issues. Where you have mother or father ran mad or suffered depression, and then uncle also is was a mad person, and so on and so forth. You can identify that. The reason why we must identify these things is to know how to deal with them. Am I communicating at all? Is to know how to deal with them. You are not trying to unravel these things. In fact, medical doctors will ask you, there's a major column that is called family and social history. The first thing that a doctor does when you meet him is to take history. He will take the history, and then before he examines you, and then from the examination to the investigation and so on, and then diagnosis and then treatment. Now he will, okay, do you drink? Yes. How much do you drink? I drink socially, only when I'm around friends. Oh no, I drink heavily. I drink moderately. Do you smoke? Is anybody sick like this in your family? Do you have, whether you are complaining of that thing or not, is anybody in your family hypertensive? Anybody diabetic? Anybody this and that? And they are saying that because it looks like it is medically established that as your father and mother are transferring genetics to you, and as you are looking like them facially, you are also looking like them in health. Am I communicating?
As you are looking like them in the way you laugh and the way you dress, you are also looking like them in waiting they carry.
And this can be dealt with. But tonight, I announce to somebody, today, in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, amen. So we have generational, even arthritis. And several of these, father had it, mother had it. Even so, like I mentioned eye condition already. And so we have that. We have, first of all, biological, nutritional. We have behavioral. We have generational. And then number five is spiritual. This category is the pure enemy wickedness arrows. Arrows of enemy wickedness. Arrows of destruction. Arrows of distract of disaster. Destruction and disaster from the pit of hell. Purely enemy wickedness arrows. I remember a young girl they brought to us some time ago. I think it was federal government girls. Is it Abuari or something? Dusi or something. And one of our classmates told her, are you using inhaler yet? And this one said, using inhaler? Why? Why do you say I should use inhaler? I'm not asthmatic. Before the evening of that day, asthma came. She began to wheeze. In other words, we sent you arrows of asthma. Has it manifested? That was what they came to confirm. We have had people who say that somebody attacked them on the breast in the night. The daytime it became a cancer or something. People have testified like that here many, many times. We went to Zimbabwe and South Africa, and a man met us in Zimbabwe with his wife. He said that something beat his chest twice. That is an animal like a beast. Bam, bam, on the chest twice. From that moment, he began to have terrible sensation. That's in the dream. Terrible sensations on the chest. Affliction they couldn't diagnose. They came all the way from Malawi with his wife, with the wife. And one of the days before they left, I laid hands on them and prayed for them. The same night, he said that he had an encounter in the dream where two openings open here in the chest. When he woke up in the morning, it was there physically. Living organism came out of this one. Press this. Another living organism. The two places where the enemy hit him, they came out physically. Someone talked about screwdriver being driven into their head in the night or nail. The outcome of that was tumor in the brain. These are spiritual sources, wickedness. Young lady has never known a man before. HIV positive. Why? She dreamt in a dream where somebody was giving her injection in the dream. We have such kind of cases. Young lady had never had anything before, married as a virgin, blocked fallopian tubes. So when I mention some of these things, there are spiritual things that can camouflage as if it was a behavior that brought it. Am I communicating? That might camouflage as if a wrong behavior brought it, but it can come also as a spiritual health, whatever be the sources. Now, some of the things I've said, they are overlapped, and there are some that have not been that are not captured in any of the categories. Maybe when we speak about this another time, it may be captured. What do you do? How do you handle this matter? Number one, ensure that you make Jehovah Rapha your healer. Whatever be the source of my issue, Jehovah, I make you my healer. Exodus 15 and in verse 26. Exodus 15 and in verse 26, he said, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, For I am the Lord that healed thee. That word, Lord that healed thee, means Jehovah Rapha. I am your Jehovah Rapha. So today, I take you, Lord, as my healer. I take you, Lord, as my deliverer. I am not relying on medications, even though I will need that. But I take you, Lord, as my healer. Number two, ensure that you eat appropriately and healthily. Appropriately and healthily. Acts chapter 27 and in verse 35, when some people that were with Paul the apostle had not eaten for a long time, he took bread and began to eat in the presence of them. The next verse, we can start from verse 34. He said, wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. I want you to eat. I know you feel you are in danger, but you need to eat so you don't jeopardize your health. Someone say amen. Eat appropriately. Eat healthily. In the course of fasting, eat. One of our young men, you heard a testimony, who did a 3 days or 4 days dry fast or 7 days, the Makodi guy. And by the time he broke the fast, he drank cold water from the fridge. What that did to him was to shut down his system. Vasoconstriction. Blood vessels shut down. At the end of the day, he was gone. He was dead. It took God to bring him back. I'm sure you remember the testimony. A man, a professional, a pharmacist, fasted for 21 days, no food. I don't think he was drinking water. He fasted to death. He didn't wake up out of it. Am I communicating? I'm not against. I live a fasted life. All right? But appropriately and adequately. I have fasted, breaking only in the evening, for more than 1 year and a half. My wife followed me. Yes, I have. I fasted dry. I won't tell you how long. Drinking water. Not 7, not 10, not 40. I won't tell you how long, and I won't tell you how many times. Because it's not once. But I have attempted to fast for 21 days, and I couldn't go beyond 7 days. And I stopped there. The spirit is willing, but the body was unwilling. Chest was doing as if it was going to burst or burn. So much pain here. Pain all the way from here to here. Appearing as if all I want to manifest on the spot. Oh, boss, I don't break him. You have to be alive before you fast. You have to be well before you break the fast. I'm not planning to prove anything. I'm not planning to prove. I've fasted longer before, so there's no challenge. Am I communicating at all? So healthily and appropriately. Beyond a certain time, you can discipline yourself. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., eating and then coke, bread, puff, chocolate. And you wake up in the morning and just food is trying to struggle for where to settle. Just settle everywhere. And then you have found your tie. A resting place. Very, very important. Very important. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Well, I was sitting at the Lagos airport one day at the executive place, and one man saw me. He was a pregnant man. He saw me. He saw me, he said, Kai, see how suit fits you.
I wish I can be like this, but see.
He said, I wish I can be like this, but see. He said, it's like maybe 70 something. He said, when we were growing up, they told us that being round is sign of good living. But now I've discovered it's not. He was lamenting. I didn't know what to say, whether to say it is well, sir. Praise the Lord. Appropriately. Eat appropriately. Eat healthily.
There are times you deprive your food of the excess extra sugar. Healthily. Someone say amen. And especially if you have family predisposition. Mother diabetic, father diabetic. Run away from sugar as far as you can. So it doesn't trigger them. Now, it's not that God cannot heal you. Smoke so much or immorally. And maybe there are symptoms in your body, or maybe there is a diagnosis already of one thing or the other. You serve a merciful God. He said, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And all things have become new. Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 13. That's Proverbs chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And now, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Lord, I was wayward in the time past. I asked for mercy. And in fact, even if you were not wayward before, Lord, if whatever I'm suffering now has anything to do with disobedience, has anything to do, if maybe I broke a law, or maybe I did something that gave the enemy space to come into my life, I ask for mercy. I ask for forgiveness. Ask God for mercy where past lifestyle may have occasioned affliction. Number four, ensure that you adjust your lifestyle so as to give no room to the spirit of infirmity. Adjust lifestyle where necessary. If you have given your life to Christ, I don't expect you to be drinking or smoking or any of the things we talked about. But you can adjust your lifestyle so as to give no room for the spirit of infirmity. Psalm 107, verse 17. Psalm 107 and in verse 17, he said, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Because of transgression, because of iniquity, they are afflicted. Adjust your lifestyle in such a way that you have no occasion, you give no room to the spirit of infirmity. Number five. And now number five and six are war. Five, reject every ancestral or generational transfer by the power of the blood of Jesus. Anything that came to you from your fathers, from your lineage, reject it, fight it. Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 29 to verse 30. Jeremiah 31. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten the sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. His teeth shall be set on edge. Reject every ancestral or generational transfer by the power of the blood of Jesus. Galatians chapter 3. And in verse 13 and 14, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, every message that is preached on issues of dealing with the 40 evil foundations and curses and chaos and breaking generational curses. You go on those kind of messages and reject. I reject hypertension. Even though it is in my natural line, it is not in my spiritual line. I reject diabetes. I refuse cancer. I refuse it. My spiritual lineage is superior to my physical village. Are you you hear what I'm saying here today? I am not going to live according to what is obtainable in my village. I am going to live according to what is obtainable in my spiritual lineage. I reject you.
You need to resist it vehemently.
When you feel the symptoms, you see the symptoms. When you feel the signs, when you are approaching the age in which the things happen, you fight it like a battle. And then, number six, resist aggressively and violently every enemy arrow fired into your life or system. Resist and reject aggressively and violently every enemy arrow fired into your life, fired into your system. Reject them aggressively, reject them violently. Isaiah chapter 54 verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. One day I was in our living room. We're living inside a town around the FHA Metama side, long time, 20 something years ago. And I was walking in our living room. All of a sudden I felt an arrow. And I stood on the spot. Back to sender. I quarreled in tongues until my wife and children ran out. Daddy, what is happening? What is happening? What is happening? I am fighting. Have you heard of people before? They were walking. All of a sudden. I've heard that many times. Have you heard of people before? My chest. One thing you must know is that the devil is very daring. No matter how spiritual you are, he may still dare you. The Bible said, and Satan taketh him. That is Jesus you are talking about. He taketh him. Did he honor him? You only taketh what you honor. He said, he taketh him. I taketh him. A whole Jesus. So don't complain. What did I do to the devil? Nobody did anything to him. He is evil. Devil means do evil. That D there means do evil. He's a professional evil doer. Happiness pains him. If you are at peace, it annoys him. But all you do is to fight it out. I was in the aircraft one day traveling somewhere. All of a sudden, very terrible. I can't even describe what was happening around my head. Many years ago, I was going somewhere to preach. If aircraft was lowering, I was feeling something. I said, wow, what is this? Power back to hell. Fought that devil. He repeated once or twice more in another flight and disappeared forever. Am I communicating? Disappeared forever. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say louder amen.
Amen.
The most important thing is if you know your authority, it doesn't matter your spiritual age. All you need to know is know your authority. The gun is equally lethal in the hand of a 21-year-old man and an 81-year-old man who know how to handle it. Equally lethal. Stand up on your feet.
Hallelujah.
I mean, it doesn't matter how young or old you are in the spirit. The spirit of God that you carry is ageless. You may be young, but that spirit in you is ageless. That spirit of God has no age. It's ageless. Today,
whatever area of your life where the devil has attempted to harass you, tonight marks the end of the harassment.
Hallelujah! Is somebody blessed tonight? Did you receive anything tonight?
How many of us received the, you received the word that blessed you? You received the word that taught you something. You received the word that meant something to you.
Lift up your hands and lift up your voice and let us begin to pray. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Lift your hands and lift your voice. Honor him and adore him. Worship him, glorify him. Lift your hands and lift your voice and pray. In Jesus' precious name.